When one talks about the topic of being born again, immediately our minds might tend to think of our Baptist friends, because we know in many Baptist circles they talk about being born again, are you a born again Christian, and things like that. But it's actually a biblical doctrine taught by Jesus Christ himself. It's hard to understand the doctrine of being born again. But as we see this today and what Jesus is talking about and what he's teaching us, I want to talk about also some of the problems with understanding the concept of being born again. What we're actually doing when we understand this, we are understanding salvation from God's perspective and not man's. John's gospel is the most theological gospel of all the gospels in the Bible. And John seeks to emphasize the nature and person of Christ and the meaning of faith in Jesus Christ. I want to start by telling you an example I had a few years ago. Sitting in chemistry class at Lock Haven University, I remember Professor Spiegel was teaching about balancing chemical equations using the periodic table of elements and using Lewis structures. And as we sat in class week after week, I had my textbook. We were supposed to take the textbook home and read so much each week so we would more fully understand what was being taught and what was being said. But it soon occurred to me that as much as I was catching up at home and doing my homework, each time I'd sit in the classroom, I'd get a little farther behind. Until one day, Professor Spiegel was writing across the board in the front of the class a big long chemical equation showing us how to balance it, and she was speeding through that, and finally I said, wait a minute, stop! And of course all the students looked at me like I was crazy, and I said to Professor Spiegel, you need to slow down and explain to us what you're doing as you go along so that we can understand how you get the end result in this chemical equation. And she said, I think you need to see me later on in my office in the chem lab so that I can slow down and explain it to you and you'll understand it more fully. Of course, which I did. I went to her, spent a few minutes in her office in the chemistry lab, and she was able to spend the personal time with me explaining it to me on terms that I could understand. And finally, I did understand. And I realized through that experience that probably 90% of all the other students sitting in that class didn't have a clue either. And I wondered if they had gone to her personally and sought out understanding. In our story, we find Jesus supposedly in Jerusalem at the Passover feast. We're not really sure. Chapter 2 tells us that he was in Jerusalem doing many miraculous signs, and there were many people believing him. Jesus had been baptized by John in the Jordan. He had been calling his disciples, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel so far. He was attending the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. He had come into the city and overturned the tables in the temple courts because they were using his father's house in the wrong way. And as he was there, this man named Nicodemus, who it tells us was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night and said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not like him. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. If you know anything about the religious sects of Judaism, there were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and a couple other smaller sects. But the Pharisees were the ones who held strongly to the law, the prophets, and the writings. They used the whole canon of the Old Testament text or scripture that we know and used those to form their doctrines and their beliefs. The Pharisees believed in the existence of angels and spirits. They believed in immortality of the soul, and they believed in the resurrection. They believed in a very strict Sabbath, and also they tithed meticulously. So they were the religious of the religious elite of the day. And this one man named Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, came to Jesus. And he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God. Now, when Nicodemus calls Jesus by these names, Rabbi and Teacher. First of all, calling him Rabbi is acknowledging that Jesus is a master who has come from God. Because the term Rabbi is a term of honor, a title of honor. And he says to Jesus, Master, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, implying that Jesus was an instructor. So Nicodemus was confessing to Jesus that they knew, the religious leaders knew, that Jesus was a master instructor that was sent by God Himself. They acknowledged it. He personally acknowledged it. And he said, the reason we know that is no one could perform the miraculous signs that you're doing if God were not with him. So he was recognizing that Jesus was special and had special powers from God. And Jesus replies to him, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. The King James Version reads, Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Other versions say, Truly, truly, I tell you. But the Greek text of this uses the word amen, where we get amen from. Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I tell you the truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You see, what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, if you believe that I'm a teacher from God, and you acknowledge that I'm a master and doing all these miraculous things because of God, that I'm a teacher, I'm a master, and I'm an instructor, I want to teach you this. Truthfully, trustworthily, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Jesus is blowing things wide open here with Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God. When we talk about seeing the kingdom of God, it's using the term figuratively, like we say you won't see tomorrow, or you'll never see that place. In other words, you'll never experience it. You'll never get there. You'll never be part of it. And he says to Nicodemus, no one can see it unless he is born again. Now, this word born here that Jesus used is genao in the Greek. That word genao comes from some other root words in the Greek, but genao means to procreate or produce offspring, properly used in the Greek as producing offspring of the Father. In other words, because of the Father's work, offspring is produced. When Jesus uses this word genao, figuratively the word genao means to be regenerated or to regenerate. And one of the root words that this word comes from is genos, which means kin. So what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God or experience the kingdom of God unless he is produced as offspring or kin of the Father. Born again. Well, Nicodemus says, well, gee, how? And I want you to notice this word how. How can a man be born when he's old? Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, I tell you. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. He's saying, yes, you have to be born physically first through the water of the womb. But you also have to be born spiritually. And the example he gives here is flesh gives birth to flesh, okay? But flesh can't give birth to spirit. He says, the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's work to procreate and produce the offspring or the kin of God. You see, I cannot enter God's kingdom or that realm of royalty unless I'm changed. I can't be my old self and expect to live in God's kingdom. Jesus is saying that's not the way it works. Something has to change, and that is the Spirit has to give me new life to enter into the spiritual kingdom of God. How does that work? Nicodemus is saying, how does that work? Jesus says you should not be surprised at my saying you have to be born again. And he uses the example of the wind. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going.
But it's this way with everyone born of the Spirit. Though we may not understand how it happens or how God working through the Holy Spirit does this, we can see the effects of it. We can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Jesus says that's how it works. Though you may not understand it, you can see the effects of it. Well, Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can this be? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you are Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things? Truthfully, verily, verily, I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen. What have they seen? They've seen the effects of the working of the Holy Spirit in people who believed in Jesus. And he says, we speak the truth. We speak of what we know, we testify to what we've seen, but you don't accept our testimony. You're not accepting these miracles as being the work of the Holy Spirit. He said, I've spoken to you of these earthly things and you don't believe, though how are you going to believe if I speak of heavenly things? You see, these are heavenly things, and Jesus is saying, I know what I'm talking about because I've experienced heaven. He says to Nicodemus, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. I know what I'm talking about, Nicodemus is saying, because I've experienced heaven, but yet you don't believe me about earthly things. How are you going to believe me about heavenly things? But he says, I know what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. And it works this way. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. What he's talking about in the Son being lifted up is in the desert when the children of Israel left Egypt and they started on their journey. Many of them were grumbling. They became impatient with God and they were complaining about no food and no water. And God sent snakes, poisonous snakes, to bite them, and many people died because of it. So they cried out to the Lord, and God said, all right. He said to Moses, you put a snake on the end of the pole and lift it up, and everyone who believes it, they look at that, and it will be healed. Everyone who believes that and looks at it will be healed. It was a faith issue. And Jesus is saying, just in the same way, when the Son of Man is lifted up, everyone who believes is going to receive life and be saved. Everyone who believes will have eternal life in the kingdom of God, he's saying to Nicodemus and to us. This is the way it works. So when one believes, they are regenerated by the Spirit and made kin of God and born again. Paul told the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. The old has passed away or died, and the new has come if anyone's in Christ Jesus. You're no longer the same. And this happens when one confesses in their heart that they are sinners and believes that Christ's work on the cross is a sacrifice for their own personal sin, that they accept Him as their personal Savior, and they become born again and be made new. Through the confession, Jesus, I am a sinner, I'm unable to save myself, you died for me, you are my personal Savior, I receive and accept what you've done for me on the cross, please forgive me and take my sin upon you. In some way, God, through the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell inside us and regenerates us, births us, procreates us into that new spiritual creation that now can enter the kingdom of God. And though we may not fully understand how it happens, like the wind, we can see the effects of it in a person's life. You can tell the person that is born again, because the fruit of the Spirit living inside them comes out of them. And in their practice, in their living, you can see, as Paul named in Galatians, the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All right? All the fruits of the Spirit you see in a person's life who has been born again, because they're no longer the old person. They're a new creation.
in Jesus Christ. And you can see in a person's life. Now there's two problems with this understanding of being born again, of which first I want, well, I'll come back to this about the rest of the passage, but there's two problems here that we need to talk about. First of all, the problem is that what I had in chemistry class. I had the textbook. I spent the time in class. I never missed a class. But the problem was I needed to consult the teacher personally if I had any hope of passing the course. I was going to fully understand what was taught. It's the same problem Nicodemus had. He was a Pharisee. He had the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. He knew the laws. He put his time in learning about the laws. But he needed to consult the teacher if he was to have any hope of seeing the kingdom of God. And in seeing the teacher, consulting the teacher, it wasn't for knowledge, it was for understanding of how to see it. How to end up there. In other words, Nicodemus was saying, how do I get there? And Jesus said, understand, you need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Because you see, it's the understanding that gives us eyesight so that we can see the kingdom of God and enter into it. This is the same problem people have today that I had, that Nicodemus had. We have the scriptures, spend all the time in the world in church, never miss a Sunday, but yet they don't consult the teacher Jesus. Someone might say, well, that's your job as pastor. It's your job to teach us. But actually, I'm a pointer as a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. If you look up the meaning of the word pastor, it'll tell you it means shepherd. A shepherd is a guide. A shepherd is a pointer. I can tell you. I can teach you. And my job is to point you to the teacher and say, if you want to have understanding, you need to go see the teacher. But I cannot give you understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. Because it's the Holy Spirit who really gives us the teaching. Remember when Jesus, what he said to his friends in John chapter 14, he promised the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He will be in you and live in you. The counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. You see, I'm a guidance counselor. My job is to guide people to the Master, to the Master Instructor and the Master Teacher. His name is Jesus. The second problem is, I couldn't even begin to tell you today how to balance equations. Okay? And the reason is because I put the textbook down and I quit going to class. And the biggest part of the reason is because I don't practice chemistry. And I'm not a chemist. I don't practice it every day in my life. And I don't consult the teacher any longer. So what could I expect from the final exam, right? You see, Nicodemus had this problem also. As he went on, we don't know much about him later on, although he did team up with Joseph of Arimathea in laying Jesus' body, properly preparing it and laying it in the tomb. But what about the people today? What about us? What about you? What about me? Are we born again? Does our lives show it? Or do our lives show that we've put the book down, that we've quit coming to class? If that's the case, then we need to go back to the teacher, the instructor, the master, and say, Jesus, how does it work for me? And he's going to tell you the same thing. It works by being born again. And when we're born again, accepting Christ into our lives as our Lord and our Savior and our Master, it's not something we do once, we put in a box, it's on a piece of paper somewhere that we join something because of it. It's something that we carry inside us here and live out every day in our lives out there. That's what being born again really means. When someone comes to you and says, are you a born again Christian? Are you born again? You need to consider, have I asked Jesus into my life? Have I made Him my Lord and Master? Do I live according to the teacher's teaching? Or have I put the textbook away and quit coming to class and don't fully understand? Jesus is our Master Teacher. We can continue to come to Him because God said He loved the world so much, or the Bible says that God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not die but have eternal life in the kingdom of God. You see, God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn it, to say because you're not perfect, you're all going to hell. God sent Jesus into the world to save us from going to hell. And we say, how does that happen? Jesus says you need to be born again by water first and then the Holy Spirit. And that happens by faith, by looking up to the cross of Christ and seeing there on that cross your sin crucified, that you might have eternal life.